Good evening. In the news tonight, a mass shooting in San Bernardino County. The COP21 UN Climate Conference. The trial for a Baltimore cop in the death of Freddie Gray. The U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments on President Obama's executive actions on immigration beginning in April. There's a new campaign to require GMO labeling. With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is some of the news for Wednesday, December 2nd, 2015.
I don't know, man.
California police said a mass shooting left 14 people dead. This after gunmen shot up a San Bernardino Social Services office this morning. An hour ago, the San Bernardino police chief said he didn't know where the shooters are.
The information we have is that they came prepared to do what they did, as if they were on a mission.
He said he didn't know if this was an international terrorist attack, but it certainly was a domestic terrorist attack. This happened in a city of 214,000, about 60 miles east of Los Angeles. The Social Service Center is the inland regional center. It serves people with developmental disabilities where this occurred. Witnesses and authorities said several people locked themselves in the office during the attack, desperately waiting to be rescued by police. Later, people were seen being wheeled away on stretchers. One witness said she heard 20 or 30 automatic rounds. Both local and federal law enforcement authorities are on the scene. President Barack Obama has been pushing for an international agreement to combat climate change at COP21, the UN Climate Summit in Paris.
I think the issue is just going to be the pace and how much damage is done before we are able to fully apply the brakes.
In Washington, the GOP-led House voted to block Obama's effort to curb greenhouse gases. It tried to demonstrate that the president doesn't have support here in the U.S. It passed a pair of resolutions. They would prevent the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, from implementing rules the administration released earlier this year to curb emissions. Both measures, already approved by the Senate in October, now go to the White House. Today, U.S. climate negotiator Todd Stern told representatives of other countries that they don't need to worry about Republican efforts to repeal regulations, that President Obama won't sign the Republican resolution repealing the major emissions-cutting requirement. Meanwhile, at COP21, the head of the World Food Program is warning that hunger linked to climate change may worsen mass migrations and is hoping for an ambitious international accord to slow global warming. An officer is on trial in Baltimore in the Freddie Gray case. Gray was the 25-year-old black man who suffered a spinal injury in police custody. Prosecutors say Officer William Porter failed to render aid to Gray, who repeatedly asked for medical attention after he was arrested. He was handcuffed and shackled at his feet and driven around in a police transport van for 45 minutes. That was in April. Porter faces charges of involuntary manslaughter, second-degree assault, misconduct in office, and reckless endangerment. The charges carry maximum prison terms totaling about 25 years. During opening statements, Prosecutor Michael Schatzow said the defendant alone is on trial for what he did, or more importantly, what he did not do. This is the first of six trials for officers charged in Gray's arrest, injury, and death. Protests around the trial. Demonstrators carry signs which read, "Justice for Freddie Gray." One sign read, "Stop the war on Black America." Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro is threatening to jail local managers of Kraft Heinz for economic sabotage. Maduro said late Tuesday that the U.S.-based company was purposely trying to sow discontent by paralyzing production lines. He said the country's intelligence police would not hesitate to arrest executives. The South American country has been grappling with severe shortages for years. Maduro's ruling Socialist Party faces its stiffest electoral challenge in more than a decade. On Sunday, the socialists are expecting to lose control of the National Assembly. Maduro and his predecessor, Hugo Chavez, made it a habit to single out foreign corporations for criticism, including McDonald's, Clorox, and Hilton Worldwide. The U.S. Supreme Court granted a request from the federal government to hear arguments in April on President Obama's executive action on immigration. The court could rule by late June on the administration's plan to shield millions of immigrants from deportation. If the justices rule for the administration, President Obama would have roughly 7 months in office to implement his plan. The program would mainly affect people who are living in the country illegally, but whose children are U.S. citizens or lawful permanent residents. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. Legislators, consumer advocates, and environmentalists are pledging to step up their campaign for a state law to require labels identifying foods with genetically modified ingredients. Andrea Sears reports.
Gathering at City Hall in New York City on Wednesday, they're vowing to make the bipartisan GMO labeling bill a top priority in the 2016 legislative session. Alex Beecham of Food and Water Watch says GMO labeling has broad popular support.
Consumers overwhelmingly want this information. And there's a New York Times poll, over 93% of Americans saying we want GMO labeling. This bill would give us that, and it's time for Albany to listen to the people.
About 80% of processed foods already contain GMOs, and regulators and manufacturers say they are safe. But according to Beecham, the system for approving GMOs as safe for consumers is broken.
The only safety testing done is done by the companies that are seeking approval, but obviously those companies have a vested interest in the crops being approved.
The impact of GMOs on human health is not the only issue. There are serious concerns about genetically modified seeds being introduced into the environment. And as Beecham points out, the Food and Drug Administration recently gave a green light to a brand of GMO salmon.
And there's obviously huge risk of those salmon escaping and breeding with wild fish, which has implications for wild salmon stock.
The GMO labeling bill, which didn't reach the floor of either house for a vote in the last legislative session, now has 70 co-sponsors in the Assembly and 27 in the Senate. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
Meanwhile, hundreds of scientists and ethicists from around the world are gathered in Washington this week to debate the boundaries of human genome editing, sort of a biological cut-and-paste tool that allows researchers to spot a gene defect inside living cells and swap it out. It's all experimental so far, but the promise for new treatments is huge. There's the ethical quandary, though. Should it be attempted in human embryos, altering a gene in not just one person, but his or her descendants? And then there's the question of safety, because gene editing isn't always precise enough. There's the possibility of accidentally cutting DNA that's similar to the real target. Efforts to improve precision are underway. There are proponents on both sides of the issue. Marcy Donofsky with the Center for Genetics and Society says this is really a decision that will affect us all. She calls gene editing a society-altering technology. Jennifer Doudna of the University of California, Berkeley, who initiated the conference, warns that a ban on even basic gene editing research in embryos could block important discoveries. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.